Father, we do ask tonight that as we get into your word a little bit, Lord, but mostly we get into the study of your word, how we are to go about doing that, that you would guide us in that way, Lord, and that it not be me talking, but it be you talking through me, giving us the wisdom of the Holy Spirit and allowing us to see that you've given us these wonderful resources that are available. And the most important resource, Lord, is you. So we look forward to this and seeing what we're going to have happening over the next several weeks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, before we get started in tonight's kind of study, if you will, last week we all were supposed to be looking at John chapter 1, verses 19 to 28. And you were going to sit down and go to the Lord and every day kind of ask for his revelation through the Holy Spirit. And also you were going to be allowed to use this week your study Bible after you went through the first few times with just you and the Lord. So I guess what I'm asking is, anybody have anything that they learned during that time from the Lord that maybe they hadn't seen before? And, you know, it's up to you guys as to how much you want to participate. But I know if I was doing this and I was going home, I'd want to share it. And I think sometimes we fail to realize that you're not sharing it for me. There's somebody else in this room that may want to hear something that you found that spoke to you that maybe would speak to them tonight. So anybody have anything like that? Right. Yeah, Pharisees wanted a credential.
To find out, what are the credentials?
Yes. Well, and you know, isn't that something, you know, we talk about credentials and how you see that. And as these Gospels are written, each one of the Gospels, when you think about it, is written to present a different credential of Christ. And in John's, we've talked about it, it's that he is God. That's, you know, that's number one. Matthew, he wants to establish that the fact that Jesus' genealogy, he starts with that, right, dictates that Jesus is descended from royalty, if you will, in Israel. And then you have Mark. Mark's actually repeating the things that Peter told him about that he saw. And he looks at it from a different direction. He looks at it as the servant. And so each one of them has something else, right? And when you open it up and you start to read John, and you realize right from the first few verses, he's talking about the deity of Christ, and then you continue on in the study, it's going to be, you know, that theme of the entire gospel. And I always say that you can find Jesus on every page of the Bible, in virtually, you know, every chapter of the Bible, that there's going to be something there that says to you, that's the Lord, that's Jesus. And so anybody else have anything on 19 to 28? Well, and that's the thing with so much of this. I mean, Jesus speaks to all of us, and he speaks to a broad audience. And, you know, it's almost like when you think about the four seeds, you know, the word wasn't, there was any, the word was very fertile and was very good seed. But what was it that really dictated whether the seed was going to produce anything? It was the ground that it fell on. And people are like that, you know. People are, some people are like me, hard-headed. You know, they got to be broken up a little bit, that's fallow ground, right, in order for me to receive the seed. Other people, they get right into it. But some people do it in an emotional way, and it's not real. And so then something happens in their life, and all of a sudden it's not enough. And so that seed never really produces the fruit. But that's a good point, too. I mean, you can read ahead, you know, when you're reading through, and find out that there's something else there. Like what we were talking about last week, I think we were reading 18, or 14, which tied us back to who the Logos was, who the Word was. And then here, it talks about the fact that John is this voice that's in the wilderness that was prophesied. I mean, that's a prophecy being fulfilled of John. And you know, you see, I don't know if some of your Bibles are they italicized when it's a prophecy or, right? And it may even give you the scriptural reference. So you can go back and you can read that part and you can say, oh wow, that's awesome. He was talking about this back then, and here this is being repeated here where John, you know, he's the voice of one crying in the wilderness. A lot of people had all these different thoughts about who John was, and some thought of him as a great prophet. Some thought of him as Elijah come back. I mean, he was kind of wild when you think about the way he dressed and all of that. Yeah, I mean, you know, he had locusts hanging out of his mouth and this this hairy shirt on, you know, you know, and he was a very loud individual. He certainly wasn't a quiet man, right? But that worked for him. And God uses different people to evangelize. Some people are very loud. You ever hear James McDonald preach? Sometimes I feel like he's screaming at me, you know. But James McDonald is also a very good teacher. And if you listen long enough, you start, all of a sudden you've toned them down somehow, and you're really getting good stuff. And we're finding that in this study. Anybody have anything else?
So the way it jumped from the first part of the chapter to the second, just kind of, I'm not sure how did that transition happen? Why is that?
Well, you know what? Sometimes, and I've seen this before. You have to understand when they wrote the Bible in the Greek and the Hebrew. They didn't have page breaks and all of this stuff. And in some cases, you'll read something and you'll say, what is that doing in the middle of this? Which is what happens here. All of a sudden, we're introduced to John. And I just think it was the Apostle John felt like he wanted to make sure people understood who John was and who Jesus was. He's already laid out who Jesus is. And now other people are talking about, oh, John, he's a great guy. You know, maybe he's the Messiah. People might have thought that. And so he's laid him out right here immediately after establishing that Jesus is, in fact, the Son of God to let us know, hey, he's just a messenger. And you shouldn't fall in love with him. You know, people do that in church today, don't they? They go to a certain church for a certain messenger. And I know, even in Calvary's, if people know the pastor isn't going to be teaching on a Sunday, the flock gets thinned out a little bit because, you know, well, he's not here and I come to hear him. There was a very charismatic guy down in Calvary Fort Lauderdale who a large group of people were going to see him. It was all about the show and what he was going to do. And then when he fell and pretty much had to be let go, they were afraid that a lot of those people were going to leave. And they did lose some because that's the only reason they were going. Well, I've always said you don't go for the messenger, you go for the message. And the message is the important thing. And the message should be totally from this Bible. And So that's something, again, I hope that answered your question, why he all of a sudden gets into John, and then he'll go back to Jesus. But that's, I think, what John is doing here.
So is this book written by John?
By the Apostle John. Yeah. And it's... Yes, the thing about this is, if you remember when we looked at the history of the Bible, you know, when the different books were written, because John lived longer than any other apostle, his gospel is the last one in, and he was the one in Revelation, right? He was still alive, he was like 95 years old, and where people kept thinking, well, as long as he's alive, you know, there's a chance Jesus is going to come. That's why Jesus is keeping him alive, because it's something that they misinterpreted that Jesus said. And that can happen. Well, good. I mean, I'm happy. So are we overall finding that this is productive to sit down with just your Bible and a notepad and a study Bible and kind of dig in? And do you find when you do that you get a lot more out of it than you did before? Yes? Good. Okay.
I get a little confused sometimes between disciples and apostles, and even John the Baptist. Was he wasn't a disciple.
No.
He wasn't an apostle.
No, John the Baptist was
just a figure.
He is a messenger. And that's the best way you can put it. Peter and Andrew, the brothers, right, actually were disciples of John the Baptist before Jesus came along. And they left John the Baptist to go be with Jesus. John the Baptist was the guy that came to prepare the way. And it's almost like when people get saved, the Holy Spirit is alongside them preparing the way, you know, speaking to them. You know, you really want to give up this life. You really have to understand you're a sinner. You really have to understand you're going to hell if you don't do this, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ. You really have to. And that's what John was doing. He was preparing the way. What was he preaching? Repentance. And what was the first thing Jesus said when he comes along? Repent. Repentance has to come first. You have to recognize the fact you got to turn around from the life you're living and embrace Jesus Christ as Lord. So that, I understand what you're saying, though. I mean, it gets confusing. I had a brother that was, I was discipling, and I let him teach a Bible study, and he started in John, and the first thing he said was, you know, John the Baptist wrote it. And it's like, oh, how do I tell him he has erred in his ways? But I did, and he took it quite well. And he said to me, he's my assistant pastor, and he took over Calvary Okeechobee. That was 5 years ago that happened. But he said to me, I never really understood how much preparation you go through in order to do these studies. And he said, and I go through just as much now because I don't want to make that mistake I made the first time you were there. And it can happen, you know. There is, because some of the names are the same. You know, how many Judases are there? You know, which Judas are we talking about? There's even two that are disciples, you know. So that can get a little crazy. But I think here it's clearly made evident that John the Baptist is that messenger that was prophesied about. And he had one job to do. And as you get into the study of the word, you'll realize that's all he had to do. And you know the interesting thing? When your job is done for the Lord, you're probably done. Think about John the Baptist. When his ministry was fulfilled, when Jesus came along, John ended up in prison and he was executed. And the Lord let it happen, and God let it happen because he wanted him to come home to be with him. He didn't have anything else for him to do. He had fulfilled his ministry. When I fulfill my ministry on this earth, I'll be going home to be with the Lord, preferably. But until he's ready to say, that's it, Fred, it's almost like you're immortal. You're not going any place until he's finished with you. And that is something you can see throughout the Bible and these different characters that we'll be talking about. Well, last week, we talked about things that we need to know before choosing the Bible. The important thing was the color of the Bible. No, that wasn't the important thing. But what it is you are looking for in the Bible. Do you want a study Bible? Do you want, what translation do you want? What kind of Bible works for you? Do you want one with a concordance? How much money do you want to spend? Because Bibles can be very expensive. But one of the things I didn't mention, and I don't know why, is I didn't mention a Bible with margin notes. And the neat thing about the margin notes, you'll see them alongside, your scripture, and they'll have cross references in there. They'll have the proper names of different things in the Hebrew or the Greek or even the Aramaic. There may even be alternative translations there. It depends on how much you have. I remember one I had, they gave me, I liked it because it gave me weights and measures. Because I never knew what a cubit was. And it used to bug me. I felt like Bill Cosby in that routine, where he's Noah. And God says, I want you to build me an ark. And I want it, so many cubits by so many cubits. And Bill Cosby looks up at him and says, yeah, what's a cubit? And sometimes you feel like that. There's different measurements, hectares, and things of that nature. It'll also tell you currencies, what's a denarii and all of that. So there's some good Bibles that have these margin notes. And, of course, they'll also have cross-references. And that the good thing about a cross-reference is, let's say I'm studying the Bible and I come across something and I'm struggling with it. I don't know where I think I read this someplace else or that subject was addressed and I don't know. If I'm really understanding this correctly, if I have a cross-reference, I can go there and read the cross-reference. And it may explain more about that verse than I already knew. And that's why I always tell you guys, and I'll keep saying it, the Bible is the best commentary on the Bible. Another tool that I think is very important, and we've talked about this, is having something to write on, a notepad. I remember when I started studying the Bible a little bit more intently. I'd been saved for a few years. I went out and bought a journal. You said, why'd you buy a journal? Because I wanted something that had the date on it, like whatever that date was. And I could write like any prayer request in there. But I could also write whatever scripture I was studying, put down the address, and then just write down whatever I found in that study. And the good thing about something like that, Wanda knows, because when we got married, I showed her, I had about a box full of these journals, right? Four or five of them. And in fact, in one of them, I wrote, "I Lord, thank you so much. This evening you introduced me to the woman I'm going to marry in church." It was weeks before I proposed or anything, and she had no idea that God was providing her to me. But it's cool to go back when you're reading through and look at where you were here in this point in time in your study, and now here you're studying it again, and it's like, I see this, and this now. And back then I didn't see that. Why? Because when you study the Bible, you're growing in your faith and knowledge of the Lord through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Will was teaching on the gifts of the Spirit Sunday, right? And he says, you get the gifts as the Spirit gives them. Well, I believe it's the same thing with revelation of the Word. He can't give you too much when you're a baby. I mean, I can't give a baby a T-bone steak. What's he going to do with it, right? Gnaw at it or something? Now you have to give him the milk, so you give him the what's easy for him to digest. And then as he grows and grows and grows, you can give him solid food and then move him on up to peanut butter and jelly, which is great. But with that, I think God wants to do the same with us. And so some of us, we may start out and we say, gee, I hear other people talking, and they're way up here, and they get so much more. Why don't I get that? Because the Holy Spirit is giving you exactly what you need for where you are in your walk with the Lord at this moment. And so that's why don't get discouraged. If we're here and we're talking about different things and you're saying, well, they got that and that person got that, and I'm still stuck here. That's okay, because that's exactly where the Holy Spirit wants you right now. But that revelation will come, and it'll come as you do this daily, and not do it just piecemeal. Some of the Bibles, in fact, today they have like these wide margin notes that are blank. You know, it's like this big column, and you say, "What's that for?" Well, you can take notes there if you want. Mike McIntosh is kind of funny when he's preaching. You ever hear of Mike McIntosh? Calvary Chapel, San Diego. He'll be going through something in the Bible, and all of a sudden he'll say, "Hey, you need to write this down. In fact, why don't you lean over to the person's Bible next to you on your right, and you write it in their margin." And then he'll hit something else and say, "Okay, now lean over to the person on your left and write this in his margin." But people do. I mean, Wanda writes all over her Bible. She's, you know, sometimes I can't read the Bible. I mean, there's just so many notes there. But it's kind of neat. The other thing is, in taking notes, there are actually electronic applications. Some of your iPads or your iPhones or any of these smartphones, they have a note section. So you could use that note section if that's all you have. You know, if you're out someplace, you don't have your pad with you. And you could use that to make notes. I think it's amazing when you look at some of the great evangelists and what they did. Dwight L. Moody, I remember reading that he made it a habit of carrying an actual loose-leaf notebook with him so that he could write down whatever he was studying in the Word of God. And I'm not talking about when he was a baby. I'm talking about this man was in his, you know, 60s, and he'd been preaching for years and years and years, and he was still doing the same thing every day with his Bible, making those notes. And it does help remind us of the consistency of God's revelation to us, because he does make a new revelation whenever you get into it. I picked up different, you know, books, and I started reading through them again. One thing with a pastor, sometimes we don't really do the study that we should, because we're so busy preparing messages and doing all those things. We go really intensely into that. So in our personal study, we don't do that. We try to just sit and enjoy. And sometimes I'll do like an overview of a chapter. I know what the chapter is about, and I see what the Lord is telling me. But then the Lord will say, "But Fred, you didn't see this, did you?" And he'll give me some other little nugget. And it's like, "Oh, that's awesome. I didn't see that. It's great." And so we're always going to be learning. You're going to be learning about the Lord until you go home to be with him, and then you won't need to, because what Paul said, we see dimly now. Well, we're going to see bright and shiny then. But there are a lot of helpful aids that can help us in our study of the Bible. Today, there's so much available. I mean, the sky's the limit. But you don't want to go crazy. When I was out at Bible college, every time I found a new resource that someone mentioned to me, I made a beeline to the bookstore. And we were on a tight budget. Wanda was the only one working. I had a small pension. And she finally went into the manager of the bookstore, and she said, "You see him? He's not to buy another thing from you unless I'm with him." She saved me from myself. I was out of control. I mean, there were like so many different things, you know. I even went to the clearance, because she said that's the only place I could shop. And, you know, I found an old Strong's, you know. And when I got it home, I realized that there were about 150 pages missing. But, hey, I took it. But have you ever scratched your head and said to yourself, you know, where's that verse that talks about this subject? Let's say guidance. Got to be somewhere in the Old Testament, but I don't know how to find it. There's a thing called a concordance, which is a beautiful tool. A lot of Bibles have them in the back. The problem with that is that they're limited, the concordance in the back of a Bible, right? It can only cover so much. But if you really want to get what they call an exhaustive fountain of knowledge, there's a concordance that is Strong's. There's actually three different concordances that you can look for. There's Strong's, Young's, and Cruden's. They're all concordances, and they all do the same thing. Charles Spurgeon, again, another great evangelist, once said that, in talking about his Cruden's concordance, for these 10 years, this has been the book at my left hand when the Word of God has been at my right. Now, here's a guy that was, again, another great evangelist, but he wanted to learn more. And through these concordances, you can also do some word studies and things like that. And the good news is, you don't really have to go run out and buy one. Remember I mentioned the Blue Letter Bible application? The Blue Letter Bible that we have on our website, Calvary Chapel, Orlando? It has a Strong's Concordance, and you can actually click on it. A couple other things I want to mention before I show you what I'm talking about, but the other thing you might want to pick up is a good Bible dictionary, because it helps to really give us definitions, if you will, of different words and topics and names and places in the Bible, and it's a neat thing to have. Bible dictionary is one of those. And then I have one tonight. It's called an outline Bible. I got this before Wanda stopped me in the bookstore. But the outline Bible is this thing. And what it does is it takes the entire Bible and it breaks it down into outline form. Not just chapter by chapter, but when I'm talking verse by verse. And so we'll pass that around. You can take a look at it. And then you get to what everybody knows about commentaries. And commentaries are great tools. And the thing is that they've been around forever. Did you know the Jewish people had a commentary on the Old Testament? And their rabbis had a lot to do with that. And because of their commentaries, unfortunately, they ended up taking 10 commandments and making 600. But they got carried away, obviously. But they were known to be very detailed. Pharisees, we were talking about Pharisees. Pharisees were very good at studying the Word of God. But they also had a group called scribes. And the scribes, they would get down to the nitty gritty. There wasn't anything a scribe couldn't take from the Old Testament and develop for anybody. They were kind of the legalists. They interpreted the law, if you will. But a good commentary, it kind of gives us insights into areas where we may not have the education or the time to really look at. I've got a commentary that's called the Believer's Bible Commentary. You can find these, I think, online for $20. And the neat thing about this is that's the entire Bible, verse by verse. And it's in a commentary format. So we'll pass that around. You can also pick up some where they break out the Old Testament and the New Testament. I have John Corson's Old Testament. I don't have the New Testament. I think my assistant pastor kept that one. But that's okay. I told him he could. Now, Pastor Chuck was very simplistic. He had one book he loved. Anybody know what the book was? Haley's. Haley's Bible Handbook. This thing has pictures and has maps, and it just goes through the entire Bible as well. And it does it chapter by chapter, and it has some good information about what's in this. So pass that around. I'm passing a lot around tonight, I know, but I wanted you to get a feel for what is available. Then there's a guy by the name of John F. MacArthur, whom, although he's an excellent expositor, he holds some things that are not Calvary based. Okay, he's especially down on Calvary because we talk about the gifts of the Spirit being for today, and he's written articles about us. And but his commentaries, he'll take each book of the Bible, and he will develop a commentary for each book. So he's got this huge volume. And I think he also makes a lot of money that way too. Now, here's the thing. I'm showing you some of the hard copied stuff. This is by Henry Morris. And if you've ever read Genesis and there are questions you have about it, or what's going on there, you know, what is creation? How does it jive with, you know, what the people that are brains today say about billions and billions of years? Henry Morris takes him to task in creation alone, but his entire book of Genesis is really very well written. And so, have that.
Do you ever go through the Matthew Henry commentary?
I have it as part of my software. So when I'm going through commentaries, I'll be very honest with you. I don't always agree with every commentary. But that's okay, because we should be Berean. We should be studying the Word ourselves. And if the Holy Spirit's truly making revelation to us, then when we read a commentary and we get what I like to call an unsettled spirit about what the fellow's saying, then you need to go and, you know, check it out. Is this guy on point or is he off? And so then there are other commentaries that you can go to. I like Pastor Chuck. I like Dave Gudzik. They're Calvary guys. They do a wonderful job in the entire Bible. J. Vernon McGee is another one that you can refer to. He's really right on, you know, with everything he has. No problems with him. Matthew Henry is great, but he's old. I mean, that's a long time ago, right? You know, Adam Clark and some of these others. They're great. Jameson Fawcett. They're great commentaries, don't get me wrong, but I'd like something that's a little bit more, you know, up to date. So, which is why I look to those kind of commentaries. There's a guy by the name of Ray Steadman who was around in the 50s and 60s out in California. A lot of Calvary pastors studied his writings because he really was very in-depth and very good as well. And then there's other folks. But here's the thing. As good as all these guys are, they're commentaries, okay? They're their thoughts and their research on what they see in the Word. But nothing's better than to hear directly from the Holy Spirit. Because, again, you can read a commentary and it can say something and you're like, well, wait a minute, Pastor Will didn't teach that way. And, you know, I heard Pastor Fred, and he didn't talk about it that way. And, you know, I looked at Pastor Chuck's commentary, and he doesn't see it that way. And David Gudzik doesn't see it. Maybe that guy's out to lunch on that. And I shouldn't really pay that much attention to it. Because what I'm getting is what, like, I get a settled spirit about. So, we never want to lean on those so much that we don't do our own due diligence, right? The other thing today that I think is really amazing is the fact of the technology we have available. I think of the fact that, you know, again, the Blue Letter Bible is available to you on our website. You just click on the link. And you can look up so much. There's also an app that you can download, and it's free. I put it on my phone. And it looks like a little book that's opened with a blue background, and it says BLB on the bottom. And when you press it, I've got it set up for John 1. I can then hit the open book at the top, and it tells me all the resources, or I can put in whatever I want to put in. Instead of John 1, I could put in John 3, 16, or whatever. But if you just touch the first verse, let's say, it tells us There are cross-references available on that. You can click on that. There's translation comparisons. You know, we were talking about that. Well, what does the King James say? What does the American Standard say? What does this one say? You can click on that, and it gives you a ton of them. There's commentaries. And some of the commentaries are very cool because they're audio. So you can listen instead of having to, you know, just read. And for some of us, we're better listeners than we are readers. And the first thing, you know, I come to is sermon notes for John 1:1, Chuck Smith. But there are also other commentaries, David Goodzik, study guide for John 1. And then you keep going, and there's Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, some of the old-timers we were talking about, Charles Spurgeon, Bob Hoxha, who was a Calvary guy, R.A. Torrey, David Hocking. I mean, some of you guys have heard of these people. They're all in this one application. So you can go and you can click on that and you can see what they're talking about. And see, you know what? What does Pastor Chuck say about John chapter 1? You know, what is it? Or what did he say? And listen to it. The other thing you can find is, we were talking about dictionaries. There's a dictionary. And it will talk about creation, because that's covered in John 1. It talks about the law of Moses. It talks specifically about the Gospel of John, Easton's Bible Dictionary. And it has different dictionaries. You can also find in here the interlinear concordance section. And there, what you have is, it'll have it written in Greek, and then it will take that and put it back in English. And then each word is spelled out. Like the beginning. Here's what the beginning is. Let me go back for a second. In the beginning. Here's what the word beginning sounds like. Oh, it won't let me do it. I don't have salt. I guess we're not getting... There you go. Ah, say, ah, hey. That's the Greek word, right? And that means the beginning. It will also take you to definitions. And it'll take you to other words. It'll parse it for you. But let me pass this around. And you guys can kind of play with it a little bit. Just touch the screen where the verse is. And it will show you some of the resources that are available. And so the beauty of that is what? It doesn't cost you anything. It's free. You know, we get it with Calvary Chapel Orlando. We get it just as an application. Where you can go to the other extreme and buy something like Logos. Have you guys ever heard of that software package? It's like $500 to get what you want. It's beautiful because I have it. She didn't get to stop me on that one. I think I did that when she wasn't home. Anyway, but it's a neat tool. There's a lot in there, and again, it has this total library. You can have like Charles Stanley's books in there, and you click on it and you're reading a book. I mean, it's amazing. You can take parts of different Bible studies and look at them. So here's the thing. And we've talked about all this and all of these tools. Here, the last thing I didn't pass around is, it's called What the Bible is All About, a Bible Handbook. And it's by Henrietta C. Mears. And she takes each of the books and she talks about understanding it. Understanding Hosea, understanding Joel, understanding Amos. So that can give you a broad overview. The bottom line on all these Bible study tools is this, though. None of them should replace that time that you have with just your Bible and your notepad and the Holy Spirit and allow Him to make a revelation. None of it should replace that. But what can it be used for? It can be used to enhance it. Let's say you get to a certain point and you say, I want to find out more about this. You know, I know that there's more there, and I want to find out more. Well, you can go to a good commentary. You can go to a concordance. You can go to a dictionary. And you can find out more. You can find out, you know, what was going on back then with the people. Some of the commentaries, the good thing about the commentary is they have done a lot of the work that some of us are not capable of doing. Like, they've translated the Greek or the Hebrew or the Aramaic, and they've given you a good definition. Some of the commentaries do word studies, like Pastor Will does. Pastor Will is up there on Sunday mornings, and he'll take a word, and he'll explain to you what that word is about. That's called a word study. And that enhances your ability, again, to understand what's going on. But having this, say, huge library of books isn't really the most important thing that you do.
It's box.
You want me to unlock it? Anybody, everybody see it?
Yeah.
All right. Don't call anybody, Frank. I got my eye on you. But nothing can replace that time. That time is precious. That time is just you and the Lord. And He's saying to you, I want to tell you this. I want you to understand that during the course of today, you're going to need this word to get by. And I can't tell you how many times that's happened to myself and Wanda. There's another online free Bible study website that's actually called BibleStudyTools.com. So again, that's something else you can click on. It doesn't cost you anything. And they have a Strong's Concordance there that you can look at. When you begin to get more into the Word of God and you get more information, understand this. That can also be the Holy Spirit using that tool or that resource to give you that information. He'll direct you there and you'll know. You'll know that you've exhausted what you can do right now with the Holy Spirit without going there. And if you still want to get more out of it, that's the thing to do. But don't, please, whatever you do, don't fall into the trap of immediately grabbing a commentary. You're never going to be able then to get as much out of this book as the Lord has for you. I remember years ago, Malcolm Weil was talking about some of the pastors in Africa that he visited with. And he said, They didn't have electronics or anything like that. They had a Bible. And if they were lucky, they had scraps of paper and a pencil. And these guys would sit down and study the Bible and have theological conversations with him. Things that they saw in the Word that Malcolm hadn't considered. And he said it blew him away. And he came back. He was very humbled and he thought, you know, I've got to use this, and I have to go here, and I'm doing this. And these guys over there, they have nothing. And yet they have the Bible, a piece of paper, and a pencil, and they're more in tune with what's going on with the Lord than I am. And when you think about it, it kind of makes sense. The biggest revival in the world today is happening in places like Africa and China. Places where they don't have all the resources we have. Why? Because they're sitting down with their Bible and their pencil and their paper and they're spending that time with the Lord. So with all this in mind, we're going to continue to do a little homework again. And we're going to go now to John chapter 1. And I want to do verses 29 to 34. And the same thing, you know, start out with you, your Bible, piece of paper, pencil, and the Lord. And do this every day. You know, we're told in the Word to meditate on it day and night. I'm only asking you for 20 minutes in the morning, you know. And you know what, as you do this, how long do you think it takes for something to become a habit? Anybody have any idea? 21 days. So we'll be 3 weeks in, right? And you will have established a habit of opening up God's Word and spending time with Him. And you just can't, you cannot not be blessed by doing that. There's just no way. So, next week when we come back, that's what we'll be looking at. And again, write questions down, write answers down, write down whatever the Lord puts on your heart so we can talk about it and discuss it. And questions are good. If that's all you come away with is, Fred, I got more questions than answers, that's great. Bring them. You know, we can talk about them as a group. Because that's the other part of this, you know, for us to understand together. All right? Does anybody have any questions tonight about any of these different resources? Anything that maybe you didn't know about that you've learned about tonight? The Blue Letter Bible. Yep. And then there's the BibleStudyTools.com. Yeah. It's right on your phone. I mean, and that's the thing. You can put that app on your phone and you could be anywhere. And let's say I have my Bible open and I hit something and it's like, you know what? I'm not sure where that's mentioned, but I know it's mentioned someplace else. I can go to my Blue Letter Bible, put that verse in, click on it, and it will give me the cross references. And that's, again, the Bible being the commentary for the Bible, right? So it's got, play with it this week. It's a lot of fun. And I think it'll bring just more excitement into your study to see what God has for you.
If any of these references you sparked an interest and you want to keep it until next week, please feel free to grab one and have more time to look at them. Not that you have to, but if you want to, they're available.
Yeah, don't take them all, Ivan. Any other questions?
Something about not stealing.
Well, that usually that begins with coveting. So, so let's not covet. If we can stop the coveting, we won't do the other. That's the name of Bible Study Tools, all one word. There's no spaces. .com. And again, that's where you'll find a Strong specifically. But you also have it in Blue Letter. Yeah. The thing I like about the Blue Letter is, I guess because I've used it so much, because Pastor Chuck's there. And when I was at Bible college, one of the things we were tasked to do was to listen to every one of Chuck's teaching and write 2 pages on it. And so you went through the entire Bible, right, with Chuck Smith, and it was audio tapes back then. Well, those tapes are in the Blue Letter Bible, so if you just want to listen to Pastor Chuck, even in your car, put it on your phone.
2 pages per study or 2 pages total?
No, 2 pages per study. Okay. And everybody thinks that that's a lot, but I was like going over 2 because Chuck, if you ever listen to that guy, he has so much knowledge. It just blows you away. And Dave Guzdick is very good too. Yeah, my library. Believe it or not, when we had Calvary Chapel Okeechobee, I took my personal books and I opened up a lending library for the people. Yeah. And so I had a gal that had been a librarian and she put labels on all my books. So believe me, this doesn't represent everything I had in the library because I left half of it with them. But these were the things that to me were personal and I wanted them to continue with me. So any other questions?
Yeah, all right. The internet is such a huge resource anymore that you can almost find anything.
The internet is really neat too. I mean, you know, yeah. The problem sometimes with the internet is you got to be careful where the resource comes from, because they'll put you on some resources that, yeah, I don't know, you know.
Yes.
So that's why I always encourage you to test them out.
Yeah.
And make sure if it's on the internet, it's free, and you can get in and get out without having to sign up for anything, because there's no need to do that.
No
need to do that. And again, these other things we talked about, I don't think it's necessary for you to spend money. If you can get the stuff for free, get it. If you see something, though, that you say, you know what, I'd like to have that, just don't tell Wanda, because she'll have you banned from the bookstore. And she smiles. Do we have any other questions for this evening? Well, then we'll close in prayer. Father, we do thank you so much for this time. I thank you for the hearts of these folks, to not only come this evening, but to go home and to wake up with you in the morning and to spend that time with you. And I pray, Lord, that as they do, you would make that fresh revelation. You would give them maybe new questions. You would give them new answers. You would give them more about you than they've known before, and that they continue to be blessed. I ask today for a fresh filling of the Spirit as we continue doing this. In Jesus' name, amen.